So let's go to the Lord in prayer, okay? Father, I want to thank you for each one here today. Father, as I've said many times before, and as you know, that each one that is here in the sanctuary, whichever week that it is by your design and by your purpose and for your glory. And so, Father, because of that, I pray that as it is your design, that each one is here, that each one would hear and receive what you have for them to receive through this message today. I pray, Father, that the intent of the message is, as it in its own way reflects Labor Day, although that not being the main focus of the message, will still drive home the point of the labor that needs to be recognized. And I pray that you, dear Holy Spirit, will simply do your work. I look to you to just accomplish your work, your way, that I will watch you and others will watch you do what you do best, and that is to touch our hearts with your presence and with your word. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to introduce to you in this message this morning, but we want a contrast, okay? A contrast of focus. And what I'm going to share with you this morning is a personal testimony, so to speak, and that contrasting a biblical principle. And that the emphasis is more on the biblical principle than on the personal testimony. The message this morning is entitled Synchronizing the Heart for Effective Labor. Synchronizing the Heart for Effective Labor. I want you to look at that in two different ways. I want you to look at that both from the physical heart and that also the spiritual heart. And so first I want to share you my testimony. Most of you, but not necessarily all of you, know what my heart has gone through. It's 5 years ago this summer that I suffered from three major heart attacks in just that one weekend. I lost 50% of my heart, and the damage of my heart left my heart unable to synchronize the blood pumping process. Okay, so I now have a permanent uncoordinated heartbeat known as ventricular fibrillation. Also, 5 years ago on this Labor Day weekend, I preached my first message after the doctor had implanted a cardio restabilization therapy defibrillator, or otherwise known as a CRTD, that can shock my heart back into a normal rhythm and synchronizes it, as the message talks about, and synchronizes it and slows the process of it to allow it not to overwork. Now, to put this in a proper perspective, my doctor even told me this before I had this CRTD put into my heart, which has three leads into three sections of my heart that tell it when to pump. And he said basically my heart was like a fish on a dock. You know when you catch a fish, lays on the dock? You leave it there long enough, what happens? It's dead. And that's what he told me. So he said in a few months you'll be dead if you don't have this put in. And so that was what my heart condition was like. But in fact, today, okay, my heart has reached a level that qualifies me to be evaluated for a heart pump, which is an LVAD, which is left ventricle assist device that actually connects to my heart and stops my heart from operating on its own and operates on that pump, or to have a heart transplant. So my heart is in that condition today that I can be evaluated to have the implant or to have a heart transplant. And so that's where my physical heart is at. As a result of the permanent damage to my heart, my physical heart does not allow for much effective physical labor. Although it would be great to have a healthy, right, undamaged heart that allows me to work. Yesterday, it was hot yesterday, was it not? My wife got so angry with me. Don't look bad at her because she means good and she was right.
My eyes were
taken out. Yeah, well, my back was turned to you now. I can still feel them. But I had got a deadbolt and a lock for my office door because that office door has not been working for a while and I want to use it because I've had more and more and more counseling sessions and I want to use that entrance. And so I said, I'm going to go put the lock in the door. Well, it's hot. Well, I'll be inside. There's air conditioning. The screws are on the inside, you know. Well, anyway, if you put a lock in, you know you have to work both sides of the door, and it was hot. But aside from being, you shouldn't have been out there in that heat, I came home and said, it sure felt good to work, do something independently, because as a man, it feels so emasculating that I can't do what I normally would like to do. And so it does affect my physical labor. And so these things are a concern to me. Our heart, our normal physical flesh heart, our natural heart, is something we should be very concerned about, and we should take care of that. Mine was all degenerative defects. And as it started with one defect, it grew into a worse situation, and my heart has developed an additional defect on top of that. But more importantly, if you want to consider this, more importantly, and this is where the comparative, pardon me? The contrast here was that of the physical heart and how important it is. More importantly, believe it or not, than the physical heart is the spiritual heart. You say, well, Pastor, if your physical heart's not working, you're dead. That's important to me. Amen. But I tell you what, if you don't have a spiritual heart, that's more important. If you don't have a spiritual heart that's been cared for, that's very important as well. And so we're going to look at some things that will help us to identify what makes an effective spiritual heart. Let me add this to this. What is the spiritual heart? How do we get that spiritual heart? You've heard it explained before. The non-believers have this hole that they want to fill, right? They feel like something's missing in their life. So they look at all these other religions, or they look at all these other things, or what we might consider even idols. I'm going to fill my life with things. I'm going to fill my life with money. I'm going to fill my life with family. I'm going to fill my life with all these things. You name the blank, but the heart is still empty. So the spiritual heart is, of course, as you already know, that of receiving Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. That's the life or the beginning point of our spiritual heart. We now have that relationship with God. That void or that emptiness of something that's missing is no longer there. God intended for us to fill that void by putting our faith in Him. Adam and Eve didn't have the void until they blew it. And the void came. They didn't have the right relationship with God. And so every human being has that void, and they try to fill it, but they can't fill it except by receiving Christ as their Savior. So you might say, well, I have this new spiritual heart because I know Jesus as my Savior. And that void is taken care of, and I know that I'm going to heaven when I die. Therefore, everything's cool. I have my spiritual insurance policy in my back pocket. But that's not what God intends. And there are so many believers in Christ that miss the mark of caring for their spiritual heart. If we take care of this heart, the key to our spiritual heart being taken care of is this, that our relationship with Christ grows deeper. Let me ask you this. Is your love relationship with Jesus of top priority in your life? Honestly, some will say no, because they know it's no. And others will say yes. I would rather give up everything for the sake of not knowing Jesus. I would rather set everything aside for the fact of growing closer to Jesus. The joy of knowing Him, the relationship with Him, the joy of Him in my life, and the fellowship that we share together is far more and above anything else, even this heart, that keeps me physically alive. Why? Because one day I know that we will die, we will perish, and that our relationship with God is eternal. And we have a piece of heaven right here, Jesus in our heart, forever. And so my relationship with Christ is far greater than my physical body. In fact, when I gave my life to Christ, when you gave your life to Christ, Scripture says that He purchased us with His own blood, that we are not our own. Therefore, my body is not mine. And whatever God wants to do with my body is A-okay. Because God does whatever he wants, but always with a holy, perfect, glorifying purpose. Even if we don't see it. And you and I need to understand that. He'll always love us and work what's best in and through our lives for his glory. So there are four questions that we can ask ourselves to help with the evaluation of the process of our spiritual heart being taken care of. You know, one of the first things that people would probably say, oh, the reason why you had three heart attacks, what's the first reason you think that people have heart attacks? Oh, your cholesterol was too high. You didn't take care of yourself. I was at 300 pounds. Well, that makes logical sense. But my cholesterol was perfect. It was degenerative. And so it wasn't that I wasn't taking care of it. It was that was just a situation. Our spiritual heart has to be taken care of if we want to have a closer, richer walk with Jesus. Because we're going to walk from here right into heaven when he calls us home or when he raptures the church out. And so here's the four questions. The first one is our heart open to obeying the word of God? Don't answer that so quickly, because sometimes we find the word of God and we go, oh, I wish you hadn't said that. You know, this is not what I really want to hear. I, in fact, don't really agree with this, or I, in fact, don't really want to comply with this, or I, in fact, am not going to do this, and therefore don't put it in front of my face. That type of a thing. And so we have to be honest with ourselves and ask that question. Is our heart open to obeying the word of God? Because when we're open to obeying God's word, we're open to knowing him. For the word became flesh, and we handled him, Scripture says. In the beginning was the Word, and it became flesh. I want to know Jesus more. You want to know Jesus more. That's my prayer. We all want to know him more. And as abstract as that may seem to so many, when we have Christ in our heart, we know he's real. And we know our relationship with him and where it's at. So let's look at James 1, 22-25. But be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Doers of the word. How many hear the word but don't do the word? How many say, well, going to church, I've done my duty, I've heard God's word, and go on and do their own thing? That's not uncommon, is it? But when we come to church, hear God's word, and God presents his word to us personally, something really grabs our heart and he makes it plain to us, we have to make a decision whether we're going to yield to that or not. When we yield to it, we become doers, not just hearers. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. Now, that's kind of a quaint way of saying you better look closely at yourself. In essence, if the Holy Spirit, you hear the whole message. And I've had people come up to me and say, Pastor, you said this and it hit me hard. And I said, I didn't say that. He hit you hard. I never even came across my mind. Never even verbalized that in the message. And they were assured that it came from the message that I preached or that God preached through me. But the Holy Spirit told them something that never came through these lips. And so sometimes, in looking at that mirror, you ever look in the mirror, you don't have to confess this, you look in the mirror and you go, I got to trim those eyebrows, or I've got a blemish here, or you know, I got, you know, a zit over here, or whatever, you name it. You're examining your face. Scary, huh? And you're looking at it, and you're identifying what you see as maybe a problem, or maybe not. But that's what happens with God's word. God reveals those things to us that we hear from him, like sin. Or we might hear from him a directive. He wants to tell us to do something. Or he gives us a greater understanding of the depth of his word. And so that's like you and I looking in that mirror at ourselves spiritually. And the question is, do we brush it off or do we receive it? Do we ignore it? Or do we apply it to our lives by the power of God? Because we can't do anything of God's word. We can't apply any of God's word. We can't live by any of God's standards except by the very presence and power of God that lives in our heart. So it says again, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Want to be blessed by God? Do what he says. But that's legalism. No, it's not. But that's infringing on my freedom. No, it's not. It's giving you freedom. Because when we yield to God, the blessings are so rich, they remove the boundaries of what we've set in life to a new boundary, a new expansion, if you will, of our lives in Christ, which are far greater than anything that you and I can live. And so the first question was, is our heart open to obeying the word of God? The second question is our heart generating good works? Now, you have to understand that good works are in some ways subjective in people's analyzation of them. For instance, a lot of people that don't know Jesus as their Savior say, I do good works. And they do. They do works that are good. They're kind to people. They're giving to people. They're generous to people. And you can add to the list. I can't remember, can't think of any others right now. And you say, that's a good person, does good things. And so they are that person doing good. But we're not talking about that kind of good. We're talking about the things that God is pleased with that can only be accomplished through God. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Can we do that in our natural ability? No. Can we do it through Christ? Yes. A person that's not a believer cannot love their enemy. And so forth. It can only be done through Christ. We cannot do those things that are done without a selfish motive outside of Christ. So, well, yeah, you can. Oh, no. We might not admit to it, but our motives are for our own well-being, not for the glory of God. And anything we do with a right heart for the glory of God is considered good works. If you go into the book of Corinthians, you'll see that all of our works pass through that furnace. And those that were done with the wrong heart are burned up. And those that were done with a right heart through the Lord for his glory are not burned up, and they are rewards from God. So good works are differentiated from spiritual good works and physical good works. Physical good works of the carnal flesh with carnal intent, and that of spiritual good works of being that which is done by and through and for the glory of God. And so, in James 2:14 through 23, it says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself does not have works is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Boy, that's powerful. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Before I go on reading the rest of that passage, how many people have you heard that will say to you, oh, I believe. I believe. What do you believe in? Good question. Oh, I believe that God sent his son and died on the cross and was buried and rose from the dead. And that might be good, they believe it, but that's not a belief necessarily that's received Christ into their heart. The intellect that understands what happened to the demons of hell know what Jesus did. They're not saved. We might say, well, I believe this, but what we need to find out is, do you believe by receiving Christ in your heart by faith? That type of belief. Because belief without faith is dead. We can't have faith if we don't believe with the right heart before God. And so we have to put them together. Verse 21 says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? It was made complete. Doesn't mean that he didn't have more things to do, to walk by faith, to do works that are pleasing to the Father. But it means that it was obvious and clear that Abraham believed God enough to take action of what God told him to do. Faith without works is dead. Faith with works glorifies God. And it shows the reality and the truth of our relationship with him. Verse 23 says, and the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And I've always loved the end of this verse. And he was called the friend of God. We're talking about what I was talking about earlier. We can have the spiritual heart by receiving Christ into our life, but we must maintain that spiritual heart so that we can grow more in love with Jesus. Being in love with Jesus doesn't mean, it's not necessarily identified just because you go to church or baptism or reading your Bible. The most important thing is our relationship with Jesus. These other things reflect or should or ought to reflect our genuine love for God, but that's not necessarily true because sometimes there are a lot of people that just are religious, and the world interprets that as hypocritical or hypocrites because they see them go to church, and then outside of church, they don't see the works of the faith that they declare. And so it becomes hypocritical in so many people's eyes. And so the second question was, is our heart generating good works? The third question is our heart laboring for the Lord with all its strength? See, we have a spiritual heart, and we love generating good works because of our relationship with God, then we will love laboring for the Lord. Now, we can do good works. Isn't it easier to do things that are easy and good with a right heart before God than it is to commit to a labor for the Lord? Does that make sense? I'm going to serve the Lord this way, but that takes a greater commitment. Rather, if I do this, it's an instantaneous thing, and I've done something good because my heart was right before God as he led me. Okay? And so is our heart laboring for the Lord with all its strength? Remember the command of the Lord given to the Israelites in Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5. Now, just a side note, Deuteronomy 6, 3 through 9, and some Jewish people say Deuteronomy 6, 3 through 11 is called the Shema. Shema in Hebrew means hear. Hear with the spiritual heart. Hear what God has to say. Don't just audibly hear, physically hear, but spiritually hear what God says. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Some might think that that's an act of robbery. I'm giving up all this and I'm not gaining the benefit. I'm giving it all to God. But when we give all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our strength to our relationship with God and that spiritual heart that loves Jesus, giving all that we have to him, a whole new world of exploration and expansion of life enters into our life. Without it, we miss out on the marvelous blessings and gifts that God wants to bless you and I with. Jesus commanded the same thing in Matthew 22:35-38. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." We can't love our neighbor if we don't, the way God wants us to, if we don't love God first. We can't do good works in God's eyes unless we love God first. We can't serve God with the right heart and a full commitment unless we love God first. We can't be that vessel of light and that vessel that God can use for his glory unless we love God first. Everything is hinged on our love relationship with God, that spiritual heart being nurtured in our relationship with Jesus. The fourth and final question we can ask is this: is our heart laboring for the Lord in joy? I think that's a strong indication of whether or not we're in the right place doing the right thing for God's glory. If we don't have joy in doing what God has called us to do, there's something wrong. Either we're not in fellowship with God like we ought to be, or we're in the wrong place not doing what God wants us to do. Years ago, I was staying at my pastor's house in Turlock, California, with he and his wife and his family, and they were basically supporting me while I found a job and all that. And so my job was, I love to cook, so I cooked some meals. I was a janitor too, so I had no problem cleaning toilets and showers. And I remember this one time I had a toothbrush in my hand, and I'm scrubbing the grout in the shower, and I'm just singing away, happy as a lark, because I was doing what God wanted me to do at that time. How many, weirdo, you're happy scrubbing the grout in the wall? And I was. Is our heart laboring for the Lord in joy? Matthew 13:44-46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, that kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found the one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. What was that thing that was a treasure in the field? What was that great pearl? Begins with J, Jesus. It begins with that spiritual birth that begins of salvation. It begins with that committed life to following Jesus. It begins with that new, fresh, real, beyond imagination relationship with the Lord. And it's worth selling all that we have and giving all that we are to know him. Here's a good idea. Be nice to know him well here, so when we get to heaven, we're not surprised. Because of faith in Christ, we have that promise. So as our spiritual hearts help our physical bodies to labor in a synchronized and well-paced fashion, I want to remind you of something Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 3:13. But as for you, and I love, dear lady in our church has said this many times to me, but as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. Sometimes you get weary, but if you know it's good with the right heart before God, don't grow tired of doing that. So, if we focus on our love relationship with God, we will not grow weary in doing good. Our hearts will be able to easily obey his word and do good works with all our strength. And we will have joy in our labor efforts for the Lord because we love him. Not just a general statement, but a real love and joy in Jesus. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here. Thank you for your word and your promises. And I ask, Father, please, that you help us to grab hold of you more than we ever have. Father, I pray that everyone in this room knows Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. But if there's someone who is not sure whether they know him or not, or knows that they don't know him or not, and they would like to receive him into their life today, may they come forward and just say, "Pastor, I want to pray that prayer to ask Jesus in my heart." It's biblical. It's scriptural. It brings glory to God because God died for us. And there's no greater love than that of a man that lays down his life for us. And so we thank you, Father, for that. And I ask, Father, that you help us to walk with joy. And as we look at Labor Day, let us look at it beyond the barbecue grill. Let us look at it beyond the celebration of working as in its birth and its focus of Labor Day. But let us rejoice in the joy of laboring for Jesus. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.